Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. And once you find that, if you want to just go ahead and stand with me, we'll go ahead and read responsively and responsively. I said responsibly. We'll read responsively. I'll read the odds, read the evens. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to us today, Lord. Today's Veterans Day, and Lord, help us to be able to benefit from your word today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You go ahead and be seated. We're just going to look at our text verse. If you look at verse 3, Paul's speaking here. He says, "Now thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Today is Veterans Day, November 11th. Chosen was the day that World War I ended. Ended November 11th at 11 o'clock. It was 11-11 and 1918. And so Congress set aside today as a day of remembrance for our veterans. I believe actually right now, usually about 11 o'clock, in Arlington National Cemetery. It's probably going on right now. They have the remembrance at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And there'll be a color guard with all the colors of the armed services. And that will be presented in remembrance of all the veterans and the fallen heroes. And the bugler will play taps. Our nation remembers those who have served it. Veterans Day. We've already seen here in this room, we've got, I think it was four guys here. And I want to thank you guys personally for what you've done for our country. Without you guys, we wouldn't have the benefit of the freedom that we enjoy today. And I know you probably think, well, what did I do? I'm just a regular guy. Well, you did what you had to do, and you did it for your country, and we thank you for that. The sermon title today is "What If?" What if? Think about America. We observe today Veterans Day. We'll ask the question, what if America had no veterans? No one who served in wars? No one who fought for their country? I wonder, what would it be like today in America? I wonder what it would be like today in the world. There was no veterans. There was no men. There was no women that had served our country, gave their lives. What would America be like today? Would we be enjoying what you and I enjoy on a daily basis? Would we have the freedoms that we, for a lot of times, take for granted? Or would there be a difference in America? Would there be a difference in the world? I guarantee there probably would be. There'd probably be a massive difference in the whole organization of the world as we know it today if there were no veterans in America. I bring this a little bit to a spiritual note. What if Jesus had not died on the cross? We read in our text verse, it says, "Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ endured a lot of hardness. Did a hard thing. But what if, just what if, he had not done that? What if he had not died on that cross? What if he had chosen, "I'm not going to do it"? What if there were no soldiers in the Lord's army that decided to give their lives, maybe in death or maybe in service to the Lord? I wonder if you and I would be sitting where we're sitting right now today. I wonder if this structure would be here, and I wonder if these pews and these seats would be filled, and I wonder if any of this would even be here. You see, folks, I'm going to demonstrate in just a minute, there is a direct link between the spiritual and the physical. There's a direct link between our country and its greatness. And folks, America is a great country. Amen? America is a great country. There is a direct link between America's greatness and the church's greatness, Christianity's greatness. Matthew 16:18 says, "I will upon this rock," Jesus speaking, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There is a connection in that verse between war and the church. The church was founded so the gates of hell won't prevail against it. There's a war against the church. 2 Timothy, Paul spoke of armor, and then we just read in verse 3 about being a good soldier and enduring hardness for Jesus Christ. Folks, there is a connection between the physical greatness of this world that we see, and there is a connection between spiritual greatness that we see. It's just the same link. America is a great nation. Why? Because America has gone through many wars. America has experienced many battles. America has experienced many lives lost, and many families and lives changed. I'd like to just take a minute and remember some of the wars that America has gone through. I think about if we rewind back to the 1700s, 1775 to 1782, we had the American Revolution. In that war, there was 4,435 men that lost their lives. Think about the War of 1812. 6,765 lost their lives. Think about the Mexican-American War, 1846 to 1848. It's 13,283 soldiers that lost their lives in that war. Think about our Civil War, 1861 to 1865. 600,000 Americans lost their lives. About the Spanish-American War, 1899 to 1902. 2,446 lost their lives. World War I, 1914 to 1918. 116,708 lost their lives. That doesn't include the wounded, lost their limbs, blinded, maimed. Doesn't include any of that. World War II, 1939 to 1945, 407,316 lost their lives. How about Korean War, 1950 to 1953, 33,651 Americans lost their lives. 1959 Vietnam War to 1975, 58,168 men lost their lives, men and women. Think about the Persian Gulf War, 91, 268 lost their lives. Think about the war on terrorism currently going on right now. 3,860 lost their lives. Total, grand total, 1,246,900 folks lost their lives. I say, why is America such a great country? Why is America's influence across the world? Why is America the country that people might go to when they need help? When problems arise, when disasters happen, when countries are invaded, when people are oppressed. Why do people go to America? Right there, folks. We've got people in this country that are willing to give their lives for it. They're willing to serve their country to death. Folks, why is America great? Because America has gone through many wars. America has experienced a lot of hardship. America has done the hard thing. And folks, just as what made America great, no church can be great unless it goes through many battles, hardships. No Christian can become great unless they go through the hard thing. Unless they experience the hard thing and they go through it victoriously. The title of my message is, what if? What if America had not fought and died for the cause of America? What if those soldiers had refused to go and respond to the causes of those wars? What if World War I or World War II, our country refused to be involved in that war? I wonder if maybe you and I would be ruled by the Japanese. Maybe we'd be saying, Hail Hitler. Things would be greatly different. But you and I enjoy what we have today because people gave their lives for it. I think about if we were to envision today, folks, what it would be like if America decided not to get involved in the American Revolution, 1775 or to 82. What if America, back at the founding of this country, decided and said, we don't want to get involved with the British. After all, they're the world's superpower. They've got the best navy. They've got the best military might. We can't. We're just a bunch of colonists. We've got no real organized army. We've got no real organized navy. We've got no experience. We've got no leadership. We're just a colonist, after all. We don't want to get into a war with this nation. This would be impossible. And you and I, maybe looking back, if we think about it in those terms, yeah, that was an impossible situation to look at. Vastly outnumbered by soldiers, vastly outtrained by soldiers, vastly outnumbered with armaments and weaponry and experience, British far out exceeded the colonists. Yet, we had folks that wanted to get involved because they had a cause. They had a cause that they believed in. Against the possible odds, folks, we won. We won! We're separated from Britain. We don't give allegiance to the Queen. We won. Why? Because men and women had a cause that they were sold out to. They were sold out. They were united against the cause, and that was freedom from tyranny, freedom from oppression, freedom from taxation without what? Representation. I think about the similarity with us folks today as Christians. Our war seems impossible. Our war against sin, our war trying to live the Christian life, our war seems almost overwhelmingly impossible. Folks, we can be victorious too. You can be victorious too in your life as a Christian. This church can be victorious too in the cause of Christ. How do you know it? You got to be sold out to the cause. To be sold out to the cause, such as those colonists, maybe banded together their resources and banded together their knowledge and banded together their manpower and their desires and their hopes. They had a cause, they sold out to it, and they committed themselves to it, and they were victorious in that cause, folks. I'm not saying that that cause was without its casualties and without its losses. You know, you've seen the American Revolution. They had 4,435 people that lost their lives, and that's probably just what was accounted for. There's probably countless folks that have been missed, but folks, their cause was worthy of being committed to. And I say to you today, this morning, that you and I have a cause as a Christian for living for Christ and acting like a Christian and living our life to try to follow Christ as best we can. That is a worthy cause, folks. It's a worthy cause. Those colonists were victorious over the impossible odds. And folks, you and I can be victorious over those impossible odds because we've got Christ as a commonality. We've got Jesus Christ as a commonality. It may be seemingly impossible to be the type of father that you ought to be in this world today, or the type of mother, or the type of child. But folks, it's impossible, but it's not impossible. You get it? Seems impossible, but it's not impossible. You can do it through Christ. Be the one to stand for Christ in the impossible situation. Do you ever think about in the American Revolution, it took somebody to decide they're going to stand up against Britain. And once that person stood up, others stood up with them. And then here we are today. And folks, it's going to take in your family a man that's going to stand and say, as David said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you'll find others will stand with you. It's going to take a woman to do the same. Or it's going to take a child or a teenager, maybe they go to school, to stand and say, I'm going to be the type of Christian that I ought to be in this school. I'm going to act like a Christian that I ought to be. Yeah, maybe it's impossible odds, but somebody's got to do it. I'm so glad that those colonists stood for their cause, folks, because they didn't only stand for themselves, they stood for generations to come. They stood for you and me. And folks, just as those colonists, if we don't stand for Christ now, we're hurting the generations to come. You say, well, that's a heavy load to put upon you. But you're not standing by yourself. You're standing with Christ. He's with you. Say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, we've got an impossible situation, an impossible war in front of us, but we can be victorious over it. Just as America was great because the colonists were victorious in the American Revolution, folks, you and I can be the type of Christians. We can be the great Christians. We just stand against the impossible. I think about the Civil War, 1861 to 1865. This is, I just noticed this. The Civil War is almost half of all the deaths that our country has seen in its history. We've seen 1,249,000. Civil War was 600,000. 600,000 plus. That's just what's accounted for. Records weren't very great. That's just what they could account for back then. Civil War was almost half of all U.S. deaths. Civil War was the most costly, hurtful, destructive war, and it was with our own people. We weren't fighting some Nazi regime. We weren't fighting some dictatorship. But we were fighting within ourselves. We're fighting brother against brother. Families against families. Friends against friends. And that war was the most costly and destructive war in our country. America's most bloody war. 600,000 plus men and women. I think about, we translate it in today's, folks, the war that will hurt churches the most is not warring with the evils of darkness and Satan out there, but it's right here. The war, the battle that will be the most bloody and that is the most bloody and the most costly and the most destructive and the most hurtful is not us going and charging the gates of hell with a squirt gun, but it's right here. It'll cause the most damage and the most destruction. Family against family, friend against friend. So many churches today are being destroyed from the inside out. They don't have to be. Just as our country, if people would just have fought right and gotten their hearts right and not fought against each other, Lord, we could have saved ourselves so much trouble. We could have saved ourselves heartache and such pain and destruction of families. But no, people weren't thinking straight, people weren't acting right, and what a mess our country had. What if the Civil War, folks, could have been avoided? If Abraham Lincoln could have, the Proclamation of Emancipation? What if he could have said, listen, it's not right to have anybody as a slave. It's not right for slavery. Let's think about, how would you like to be a slave? Let's think straight. If Abraham Lincoln could have somehow gotten people to think right and united themselves, imagine how much stronger our country could be today. Without the loss of 600 men and women, without the loss of all that resources and all that time and all that heartache and all that emotional loss, folks, can you imagine how much stronger America could be today? But no, the Civil War was not avoided. And I say to you today, folks, you and I need to avoid any sort of civil war in this church. Because, folks, that'll be the most costly and the most bloody and the most hurtful war that this church could go through. We may have some casualties from the outside in, but, folks, we'll have far more if it starts on the inside out. You think about in our own physical aspect, what's one disease that destroys people? Cancer. Starts from the inside, spreads on the inside. Folks, we need to avoid civil war in our churches because we need to realize that that's the most destructive. Avoid civil war as a Christian because it'll be the most hurtful and the most costly. I think about World War II, 1939 to 1945. 407,316 Americans lost their lives. At the peak of World War II, there was 8.2 million soldiers in war. 8.2 million soldiers fighting the war. And folks, at this war, America avoided this war as long as it could. Remember? Was it made, refresh your memories from high school? Is that day which will live in infamy? December 7th, 1941, the day which will live in infamy. Japanese struck Pearl Harbor early Sunday morning. It's like 6 a.m. Sunday morning. They came in with all those airplanes and bombed Pearl Harbor, destroying our Western naval fleet, sinking countless ships, killing countless men. Surprise attack. Why did that happen? Because America was, there was a war going on. America didn't want to get involved. Hitler was in Europe. Japanese were in China and taking over all the Philippine Islands and all that area there. They were spreading. America had just gone through World War I just 20 years earlier. They didn't want to get involved in another war. It's not our war. We don't need to be involved in it. We're happy. We're on our own little country. We don't have any of the invaders coming in. We don't want to be part of that mess. But folks, what happened was, is the war came to us. War didn't stay over there in its little area. War didn't stay over in Europe. It didn't stay over in Asia. It came to us. And folks, the enemy hit. December 7th, 1941. Much destruction. Much loss of life. And as a result, 407,316 Americans lost their lives. Why? We didn't want anything to do in that war. I think about a lot of Christians attempt to avoid fighting the enemy. They avoid fighting sin. They don't work on attitudes, right attitudes. They don't work on prayer. And work on worshiping God and having a relationship with Him, or praising God, or reading the Bible, or they don't work on serving others and giving their life to others and spending time for others. They don't work on giving. And folks, then one day, one Sunday morning, they look around and they see they're being bombed. They look around early in the morning and they find that their children are being destroyed. Going the wrong way, making wrong decisions, destroying their lives. Their financial situation and resources being destroyed and being drained and being depleted and being stripped away from them. Their marriages are falling apart. We as Christians, folks, cannot avoid the war with the devil and sin. It's unavoidable. If you avoid it long enough, it'll come to you. It'll sneak up on you, and you'll wake up and you'll say, "What happened?" Folks, we need to be in that mindset that we need to be fighting against it. To be on our minds. Folks, we cannot avoid it. It's going to come to us. Folks, our job as Christians is to, just as Paul said, is to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, but it's hard! It's hard to read your Bible. It's hard to pray. It's hard to have the right mindset when you're surrounded by people who could care less and people who don't think less about the things of God. Well, folks, it's hard being a soldier in battle. I see, I've never been in any sort of war, but I see, I study the things that some of these men have gone through, and folks, that's a hard thing to go through. It's a hard situation to be put through. And folks, I'm so glad that they did what was hard. I'm so glad that my Savior did what was hard. America is great because of wars and veterans who fought in those wars and protected our country. America is great because men were sold out to a cause, men who were committed, veterans who decided to give their life for the country that they believed in. America is great. What will make our church great here? What will make you great as a Christian? Being sold out to Christ. Being sold out to your cause. You think about, what if you don't have a cause? Why are we struggling so much in our current war? Why are we so successful in World War II? Because we knew the enemy. We knew where he was. He's in Germany. He was in Japan. Why is it so hard now? Because the enemy's everywhere. All different houses and different groups and different sects. We're having a hard time. We're a world superpower. We could stamp them out like that. Why is it hard? Because it's all over the place. And folks, that's what the devil wants to get you. He wants to get you all mixed up. Wants to get you going in all different directions, not knowing what you're going to do and where you're going, and get you all mixed up so you're ineffective for the cause of Christ. Folks, we need to have a cause. Get that cause committed. You say, what should my cause be? Be committed as a Christian. It's a great cause. That's a worthy cause. That's a hard cause. You just decide your life, say, I'm going to be committed to Christ. I'm going to be committed to the things of God. I'm going to be committed to coming to church. I'm going to be committed to acting like a Christian. Your dad, you can be committed to God for your sake and your children's sake. Your mother, you be committed to God for your sake and your children's sake. Your marriage's sake. Your child, you decide to be committed to God. Your teenager, you'll save yourself so much heartache. If you just get settled in your life, you're going to be committed to God. You committed, you parents, you'd be committed to having a great Christian family. Folks, that's a hard commitment. Be committed to it, though. Do what's hard. Be committed. Say, I'm gonna have a good Christian family. In a world where it's so hard to have a good, stable family, folks, you just be committed. You say, I'm going to be committed to having a stable family. Why? Because it's a worthy cause. It's a worthy cause. And folks, lastly I want to say is, why don't you decide to be committed as a great Christian of Christ? Why don't you decide to be committed to the cause of Christ? Whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, you come to that place in your life, if you haven't already, you come to that place in your life and you say, yeah, I know, what if this and what if that, and I know, well, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, but I do know I understand Jesus Christ. I do know I understand that He died for me and paid for my sins on that cross and gave me a home in heaven. I do know I understand that. I'm going to be committed to Christ. We'll be committed to Christ. Folks, in a world that you can be committed to so many other things, I can't tell you the best thing, but I can tell you this is the best thing to be committed to is the things of Christ. If you're going to be committed to anything, be committed to God. What if America had no veterans? What would this world be like today? What would your life be like today? Would we be speaking English, or would we be speaking German, or would we be speaking Japanese? What would this world be like today? Would we be sitting here freely in church, hearing the things of God preached and singing hymns, and be able to go home freely and come back? And would that be available to us today? I say probably not. Would be under some sort of oppressive regime's control. Folks, our lives have been directly influenced by those who gave their lives to this country. Those who gave time in the military services, our lives have been directly influenced. And folks, just as our lives physically have been directly influenced, this is the connection. Our lives have been spiritually influenced because somebody decided to give their life for Christ. I was talking about today in our Sunday school class, how many of you had somebody come to you and tell you about Christ? Some of you said your preachers did and your friends did and your parents did. What would your life be like if they never decided to do that? Never decided to do the hard thing and live for Christ. They never decided to do what they should for the cause of Christ. They never decided to do the hard thing. Where would your life be right now? I dare say you probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. I know if I had never accepted Christ, I probably wouldn't be standing here right now. Folks, our lives have been directly influenced, physically and spiritually, because somebody decided to do something that was hard. Why? Because they had a worthy cause. And folks, I close with this. You have a worthy cause in front of you today. You have a worthy cause for Christ. If nothing else, simply because somebody came to you and told you about Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If nothing else, simply that you know 100% for sure you're going to heaven. And I say at the very least, that's a tremendous cause in front of you right there. That's a tremendous thing that's worth so much that's been given to you and I. Folks, our cause is great. Maybe impossible, but it can be accomplished, folks. Possible odds have been overcome before. Our cause may sometimes interfere and become within us. Avoid that. Avoid civil wars, folks, because they're going to be the most costly, the most bloody, and the most hurtful. And I say to you finally, don't avoid the real war for living for Christ. Don't avoid the real battle. Why? Because it's happened to countless Christians. You'll wake up someday and you look around and you'll say, what happened? How did all this happen? How did my children go this way? How did my marriage go this way? How did my job go this way? What happened? Because we avoided the real war. We didn't prepare. We didn't get ready. And sneak attack and destroy us. We have a worthy goal that's in front of us. Accept it. Accept your cause. Why? Because it's worthy. Folks, I'm so thankful that our veterans accepted and did what they did. So thankful that you gave your time in the military service. We wouldn't have the freedoms we have now without that. And folks, I'm so thankful that somebody in my life accepted their cause for Christ and decided to tell me about Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that they decided to live like a Christian and do what was hard because it affected me. Who's out there waiting for you to be affected by them? Who's out there waiting for you to affect them? Who's out there in your life waiting for you to affect them for the cause of Christ? To change their eternity because you're decided to do something that's hard. If we could stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, thank you for this day, this Veterans Day, a day in which our country has set aside to remember those men and women who have given their lives in service to our country. I'm so thankful for these men here, Lord, that have given their lives, Lord, in their branch, but with the cause of serving this great country, Lord, and serving us for the cause of freedom. Dear Lord, I'm so thankful that you, Jesus, decided to give your life for the cause of the souls of men. With their head bowed and their eyes closed, if you're here today,